And I got with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. All is good.
That's good to hear. So we got Parshat Re'eh today.
That's right. And fascinating Torah portion, because if you look at the Torah portion, the name of the Parsha is called Re'eh, see.
Look, yeah.
Look, and what is he saying, look and see? Moses says to the people of Israel, see, I place before you today a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
A blessing that will come when they fulfill God's commandment, and the curse if they abandon them. And he says that they should be proclaimed on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, where the people cross over, where the people are going to cross over into the Holy Land. So he says that there are going to be curses and blessings. Now, it also talks about further in the Torah portion that a temple should be established in that the place that God will choose to make it dwell and dwell his name there, where the people should bring their sacrifices to them, and it is forbidden to make offerings to God in any other place besides the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple.
That's a permanent place now.
That's right, a permanent structure, correct. And then he goes on to explain also about Ma'aser, the tenth of all produce to be eaten in Jerusalem.
That I just learned here in North America that you don't do this mitzvah here, only in Israel.
Right, and that's interesting because we were just now in Israel after Pesach, and we have to be careful which food stores and all the types of places that there would be stored with them because of Shemitah.
Shnat Shemitah, yeah.
Because of the year, of the 7 years of when they, in Israel, if they have that obligation, in America it doesn't, or in North America, anywhere outside of Israel, it doesn't apply unless you're bringing in specifically fruits from Israel.
From Israel, yeah.
Because some people are careful, some people are not. So you have Maaser, which is giving
one tenth
of, you know, food products and all that thing. But there's also the maaser of the money that you make.
Yeah.
That whatever money you make, you have to give 10% of that to charity.
And that's one more important thing in this parsha.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And so let's look a little bit at what he talks about, the fact of that he's going to be giving a place before you today, blessing and curse. The question is, does a moral life equal good fortune? Do things always go right if you are a quote-unquote a religious person? So what do we just read? We read that, behold, I give to you today the blessing and a curse. The blessing that you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, and the curse if you do not obey and you astray from the path that I command you to do today to follow the gods of others. So, a person has to look at himself and think and say, do we identify with these words from the opening verse of the three-star portion? And even more so, are all righteous people blessed? And are all godless people cursed? Does it really work that way in the real world?
Yeah.
And the truth is, the Talmud, the Gemara, states categorically, the reward for the mitzvah is not in this world at all. Ultimate accountability is reserved for the world to come. So, everyone asks the famous question, then what is the Torah telling us here? What does it make a difference about here, in our world? One answer is that it's teaching us that living a godly life is itself a blessing. And then leading a life where God's value system is irrelevant, and it doesn't affect you, you don't really care about it, is in itself a curse. Because virtue is its own reward, and the reward for the mitzvah is in the mitzvah itself. So perhaps we could think there was a time when we needed faith to believe it. That if you had faith, then you'll do what God wants to do, and if you don't have faith, then forget about it. Today, I can venture out and say that I think that in our generation, we see that a life dedicated to Torah values, the ideas of what Torah wants us to live in our life, morality, being honest, being a straight, good Jew is a blessing. And sadly, other lifestyles bring the opposite of blessing into that person's life. You know, you ask the person if the person learning Torah, or maybe not even learning Torah, but obeying God's commandments, living the life that God wants you to live, you know, being nice to other people, helping other people, so on and so forth. You ask the person, how do you feel about this? And, oh, I feel complete. I feel happy. You ask someone that has nothing in his life, ask him, how are you? Yeah, you know, I'm okay. You feel that, like, you know, accomplished and everything? Eh, not really. Why? Because they're missing something. But let's try and take one or two examples and in society and see how the how true is it in these words what it says. Now, for example, look at let's say violent crime. First, the bad news comes, and unfortunately, it's not unheard of Jews that have been involved with, for example, in, let's say, white collar crime, fraud and embezzlement, are not things that we're proud of. Now, furthermore, that even violent crimes are being perpetrated by Jews, people in a way that were always foreign to our people. But, for example, in religious communities, while white-collar crime is unfortunately not unknown, violent crime is a rarity. You might find in a religious community or in a community that's really going by the laws of godliness and of Torah, that you might find, you know, white collar crime, embezzlement, so on and so forth, but violent crime you barely find. And in fact, you know, if you think about it, when what was his name? Yigal Amir.
Yeah, when he murdered Rabin.
Assassinated Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, it sent a shockwave across the whole world, not only because he was a Jew, but precisely because he was a quote-unquote kippah-wearing Jew.
And I can give you one that is even closer to us, that terrible incident with the Palestinian kid.
Oh, yeah,
Jewish people don't do.
Exactly. Violent crime is not part of our criteria, not part of our doctrine that this is what we got to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dennis Prager, who is a big, big talk show host, I remember listening, he poses an interesting hypothetical question that if you were walking down a dark alley and one night and you saw three young men wearing leather jackets, sunglasses, and chains around their neck, you would no doubt be petrified. Now, what if you were told that these young men had just come from Bible class? You know, would you be alarmed? Would you be relieved? So perhaps in other faiths, religious fundamentalism breeds violence. With Jews, it's the opposite. With Jews, we see that the way that we run our lives, and we go according to what the Torah and the Jewish values is something that we're almost guaranteed that we're not going to be going in terrible ways. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a sour apple and you're not going to have people that go against that. Absolutely. Tragic choice that people make, God forbid, can be made by anyone, anywhere. So if we are objective, we cannot dismiss the tangible evidence that our parasha, our Torah portion, does have a point, that the godly way of life is not only a pathway to paradise in hereafter, but it is also a blessing for us in the here and now. If we want the blessings of this world for our families and ourselves, we should seriously consider living a life based on Torah values. In other words, does that mean that I'm always going to be a religious Jew, and if I don't, I can't have Torah values? No. There's other things, there's Torah values, there's you know, keeping Shabbat, there's habit of being nice one to the other. We have to l'reach kamocha, love your fellow Jew, keeping kosher, doing mitzvot, so on and so forth. So it's not, it shouldn't be portrayed that, well, you know, if I don't keep kosher, then I shouldn't be doing anything else. Jewish religion looks and says, what can you do at this moment of time that's going to make you good, going to make you better, and going to connect you to God? And that's what this week's story was. The choice is ours. God gives us the choice. But he tells us, behold, I give you the curses, and then behold, I also give you the blessing. That is something that I think is phenomenal and a very, very powerful thing in our Jewish life.
That's a nice parsha.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And Shabbat services in Shaarei Shamayim / Tzedek.
We have the Friday night service at 7 o'clock. Shabbat morning is at 9:30. And Sunday morning is at 8:15, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday we have the community minyan in the parish house at 7:15. And, you know, I ask everyone to continue saying Tillim and Psalms for the state of Israel and for the soldiers that are wounded and everyone that God should protect and bring peace to our world today.
God willing.
Amen.
Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, you too, and looking forward to talk next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Bye-bye.